Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey, everybody, it's the intro before the intro. We got episode 537 coming at you in just a second. Ben Wyman from Suicidal Tendencies, formerly of the Dillinger Escape Plan, is my guest. And we had a fun chat over Zoom. And those of you who are part of our Patreon got to sit in on it. Those of you who didn't but want to can check out patreon.com/Josta. You will see you're going to get at least five new podcasts extra separately from your Gas Digital subscription. Plus, you're going to get new songs every month. Like I just did a song for the new Freya album. You'll hear that first on my Patreon. I did a song for Dee Snider's album that didn't make the cut, but we put up the demo version with me singing. That's up on Patreon. I did a new Josta demo. That's up on Patreon. We got a bunch of good stuff up there. It's just a little extra content for those of you who donate every month or those of you who also are subscribed to Gas Digital but wanted a little something more. We really appreciate it. So your Gas Digital subscription stays the same. Go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code Josta, and you'll see there's over 515 episodes in the archive, which you get with that Gas Digital subscription. And let me know if there's anything else you want to see on the Patreon. If you want a lower tier, we were thinking about doing a $3 tier with just the songs and the weekly Metal Roundup update podcast, you know, every week. Maybe we do that. I don't know. We're open to ideas. Shoot me an email, jostashow@gmail.com. And I got to shout out a bunch of our new patrons here. Martin Thomas, big shout out to Martin. Stan Olson, Kevin Keene, Jason Jarvis just came on board as an executive producer. Big thank you, Jason. Your name will be in the credits today at the end of the podcast. You'll hear it over the song. That's one of the perks of being on our Patreon. Also, Single Wide D from Contagion Comics. Thank you so much, D. A fellow Conan fan, I think, there. Jesse Parsons, also Chris Loris, and big thanks again to D and Contagion Comics. They sent me a bunch of awesome comics. I'm reading the Star Wars ones now, so shout out to D. Also, Chris Loris, another executive producer, Andrew Chase, thank you, Andrew, Hotchkiss, Emmanuel, Paul Hamilton, Mark M., Alex Smolin, Vivek Pawar, two more executive producers, thank you guys so much. Also, Germ, Michael Hansen, Larry Tooley, and Blake Bonafede, this is for you.
Thank you for supporting the show. This is my way to let you know.
Let me know what you're watching. Let me know what you're listening to. So many good records coming out this week. This Friday, Ingested, Wherever Gods May Tread. I always say the fucking title wrong. Let me look up the title real quick. I always say it fucking wrong. But it's coming out, and today's episode is brought to you by IndieMergeStore.com. And let me tell you, Indie Merch Store has so many good new restocks, so many great new products, everything from flip-flops to bathing suits to towels. Maybe you want to be on the fucking beach with a Cannibal Corpse towel. Some lady walks by, butchered at birth on a fucking towel. No, I don't know. But they do have a lot of towels. Aborted. I don't know if you want to have an aborted towel at the beach or an aborted bathing suit. Well, that would be hard. The album's called Where Only Gods May Tread. It's coming out August 14th on Unique Leader Records. You can pre-order now still. There's still some bundles left. A lot of them sold out. But check out IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA and you will save at checkout. Big thanks to IndieMerchStore.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Immortal Coffee, the no crash coffee. That's right. TheImmortalCoffee.com is the site to go to after the podcast today. Maybe you want the Cuban roast. Maybe you want that medium roast, that Italian roast. It's all banging. They make the best travel mug I own. I'm getting a lot of compliments from my pothead t-shirt, which has a coffee pot on it. And it's brought to you by UFC legend, Mr. Matt Brown, the immortal himself. You know him. You love him. I know him. I love him. And I love that coffee as much as I love coffee, death metal, and push-ups. All together combined, it's a great combo. You know it. Check out TheImmortalCoffee.com. Don't forget the Buster. TheImmortalCoffee.com. Use promo code JASTA and you will save. That's JASTA at checkout at TheImmortalCoffee.com. Okay, listen. Before we get to today's show with Ben Wyman, I want to say rest in peace, Martin Birch. Produced so many great, awesome records. Such a sad loss for heavy music. And I want to say rest in peace, Tony Costanza from Machine Head. Maybe you knew him from Crowbar. Great guy. Really sad news. My condolences to his family and friends. I know I probably already said something on the podcast, but I just wanted to say it again just in case it was only on the Patreon podcast. But man, go listen to Build a Mountain on that Crowbar Sonic Excess record. Tony's just beating the hell out of drums. fantastic performance, and really sad news there. So my heart goes out to everyone, and well, let's get on to the show. We got Ben Wyman, Dillinger Escape Plan, Suicidal Tendencies. He's got a Patreon too, which you should support, but I'll shout that out in the outro after the outro. Now on to the show.
It's not just a show!
My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie Jasta, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie Jasta from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie Jasta. Remember Jamie Jasta? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal man.
I would say, delete that.
That shit is hard.
We're going to do a little Q&A with you here real quick, but oh, wait. All right. Your screen is working. So you're at the farm.
I am.
Compound, which is animal. It's a studio, an animal shelter. You're like one of the most fascinating guys in music right now.
No, I can't compete with you, man. It's like, I'm just like, you know what? People think I'm fascinating because I'm so boring.
No, dude, I was showing my nieces the video of you getting rammed by a ram or a goat. What is it? Yeah. Is it a male goat with the ram horns?
No, that was a sheep. So it's a male sheep. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. How did you not get hurt?
I mean, it's kind of, when you're, I think all my vertebrae are already fused together. So it's just kind of like, all right, here we go. Another one, but no, it's interesting because the sheep are much, the ram is much more of a dick than any goats. So goats are cool. They're like pretty much smart. You know, they know you're a person. A sheep is dumb. They think I'm a ram. Like the ram thinks I'm another ram. You know what I mean? So
really,
yeah. So. And the worst thing is that when we first moved into the house, we didn't intend to have animals, honestly. There was a barn and there was animals from the previous owner, and they kind of never took them. They never picked them up.
What?
Yeah, so we ended up – I started just kind of taking care of them, and then everyone started reaching out. Can you take this animal? Can you take this animal? So we ended up being a rescue, really. But 2 weeks into moving in the house – I just went out there to like check on them. At this point I was like, I guess I'm taking care of them. And I looked down and there's a baby sheep in a birth sack, like at my feet.
No way.
And I had no idea. Like I had a dog as an adult, like when I moved to the house, but that's about it. I never had pets growing up. I never. So I didn't know what to do. I was like, there's this, like baby lamb just sitting here. And so I just kind of picked it up and wiped it off. And within 20 minutes, it's standing up on its feet and feeding with its mom and walking around. I'm like, wow, these animals are way more advanced than we are. Like we have to like, they're pretty much within 20 minutes, like functioning. They can do their own thing, you know? And then another one dropped out and another one dropped out. And we had like 7-8 baby lambs just pop out, literally just moving into my house. And one of them was this ram. So what I found out later was because I raised it, it's more dangerous because it thinks of me as another ram. So, I mean, that fucker's always trying to bust my ass. Like every time I go out there, it's like, what's up, dude? And it chases me, it fucks me up. And it's like, to them, that's normal. That's normal. They do it for fun. You know, like they ram each other for fun, you know. And so I put the video up, and in the video, the ram busts me in the ass. And this is probably like the 100th time it's happened. It just happened to be on video, like security camera. And I kick my leg up out of instinct to try to avoid from it doing two rams. You know what I mean? And immediately everyone's like, you're an animal abuser. You tried to kick a ram. You tried to kick a sheep. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I couldn't hurt this thing. You could shoot this thing with a fucking cannon and it would be like, cool, you know, do it again. You know, it's like, so it's interesting things you learn every day here.
Well, it's great what you're doing. I've been to a bunch of different animal rescues and I always have a good time and I try to donate. And I would imagine that, you know, just from my experience going to a bunch, like I went to this one Piedmont Farms in North Carolina where, you know, they get dropped off like turkeys and ducks and goats. And I imagine it becomes pretty costly, but did you get registered like as a nonprofit? Can we donate? Can the fans donate?
So that's a good question. I pretty much raise money through my Patreon for it. So the only music I've been releasing independently is music through my Patreon. And then all the proceeds I make off that go into the animals. So I kind of feel, I've kind of been like if you want my music, you can donate. If you like animals, you can donate and delete the music. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
But we haven't officially registered as a nonprofit because a friend of mine, who actually, he's actually my trademark attorney. He has an animal rescue with his wife, like a full giant sanctuary, like 100 acres. And he was like, if you can avoid going nonprofit, probably a good idea, because although you have to like pay taxes on the money you're getting from your music and all that stuff, it's like as soon as you go nonprofit, it's like they crack down on you for everything. Like, and he said the animal rights people are the worst, you know, like PETA and all these people, they come over and for some reason they all want to take you down. They're super competitive. All the other sanctuaries that are, you know, nonprofits are all competing for the same money. And it's kind of like this crazy, there should be like a reality show, like sanctuary wars, animal sanctuary wars, you know, where all the animal sanctuaries kind of like fight each other or something. But so he was like, yeah, he's like, we went nonprofit and it's like constant problems. Like someone will try to shut you down for like, you have like a quarter of a foot less than you should have for that amount of chickens or something. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So we may still do it because we'd like people to be able to donate and write it off and things like that. And like we recently almost adopted a baby giraffe. And
oh my God.
That would be like a pretty heavy thing. And we'd probably need to really go nonprofit to raise the right kind of money for like exotic vets and things. But as of right now, we're handling it. So,
because you're like the surgery alone, like if the giraffe needs a surgery, you're looking at what? Yeah. Like 100 G's easy.
Yeah. I'm wondering like who does that shit, right? Who does like a giraffe surgery, you know?
I had my dog's knee fixed and it was like $3,000.
Oh yeah. It's life changing. It'll destroy your life. Animals. Yeah. Like for sure.
Have you had to pay for a surgery yet for one of the animals?
So the biggest thing we've had to do is like castration of a horse. And then the other costly thing is,
now why can't you just give him a vasectomy? Like, why do you gotta go so hardcore?
Right, exactly. Why can't you just get a little sniff? You know, that's a good fucking question. I think I'm getting duped here.
Seriously, I feel like it's like a way for them to jack more money out of everybody. Because first of all, women like to do this shit. They're real into it. And everybody's gonna go, oh, you're a sexist.
Yeah, my best woman, too. Wait a minute here.
Like, why are you so quick to I'm kidding. But the vasectomy of a rabbit that I was babysitting was shot down. I said, why do you gotta go full bore? Like, why can't you just snip the little, you know, the whatever creates the rabbit sperm? And that created all this discussion. So I was like, I gotta ask Ben about that.
You know, maybe it's because, I mean, I haven't been snipped yet, so I don't know the behavioral changes, but maybe it's because of the testosterone and stuff. Maybe, you know, removing the actual testicles like makes the animal and they still want to fuck everything. So,
right.
You know, like, I don't know. The ram I have, there was an attempted castration using like a band. Like when they're very young, you can like basically tie up their testicles and they just die. And one of them survived. So he has one giant ball. And I think that's the ball that wants to kill me. I think that's right. The one that's going after me all the time. It's that one.
Right. Oh man, the video went out. Yeah, shit. Did I go out? Are you froze too? Yeah.
You're back. Am I back?
This call today is like,
yeah, you
cursed.
Guys are back.
This is the Zoom day of hell. But before I forget, the dog, one of the dogs that we rescued, he was from North Carolina. She said the lady was keeping him in a cage. She couldn't take care of him anymore. He was peeing everywhere. It was sad. So we were like, look, don't keep him in the cage. We'll take him. My girlfriend's sister brought him up, drove him up to us. But they were like, oh, he's fixed and he's fine, whatever. He's all caught up with the shots. But then I noticed, even being fixed, he still, like, we gave him, when he got here, we gave him a little, like, couple of different stuffed animals and toys and stuff. He's still loving on this one stuffed animal, like, yeah, all the time, getting his groove on. So even without him, even without the balls,
it's an instinct, man. It's nature. Nature takes a course. You can take the ball away from a dog, but you can't take the dog away from its
ball
toys. Yeah, it's toy ball. Yeah, whatever it is, something. Yeah.
So yeah, what's the craziest animal you have right now? And has anybody tried to drop off anything and you've said, like, no, we're not going to take your alligator or whatever?
Yeah. Man, I think probably the coolest things we have are alpacas. So yes, they're kind of they're in the llama family. They're in like camel family. They're pretty cool. They look really Jim Henson-y and Muppety, you know? I mean, the coolest animals we have are just, I have a horse named Wu-Tang, this like mini horse. And he's really cool because he's just got a real personality. And he's like, he would definitely be in the Wu-Tang clan. Like, if he was a rapper, he would be in Wu-Tang. Like, he's got that something about it. And he's super cool. We have a mule. We have a bunch. We have a pig that lives in the house with us. That's really cool. We have six pigs all together, and three of them have lived in the house at different times. And then we have a baby goat that a fainting goat that was too young to put outside, so it lived in our house for a while. And we had to put a diaper on it and stuff, because goats, they just shit. They walk and shit. Like, they don't need to stop. They don't even acknowledge they're shitting. Shit just falls out as they're walking. As you know, you've been to all these, like, you know, animal places.
Yeah.
So it's impossible. You can't, like, train a goat to, but we put diapers on it, and it would sleep in bed with us. So now it's, like, really funny because it's like a dog. It just wants to follow you around, come in the house. It's always like, he definitely thinks he's, like, better than the other goats. He's definitely like, fucking animals. Like, what the fuck? Get me. Like, he looks at them. He looks down at them like they're disgusting. You know, like, he's like, these animals are disgusting. Bring me back in the house. Like, that's pretty fun. But we don't have anything too crazy, you know.
So no one's tried to drop off, like, chinchillas and weird, like, exotic animals that they got thinking they could take care of it?
I mean, like, no. We had flying squirrels here for a while. They're not really exotic, but we had a bunch of them. The animals just attacked. Like, one day I woke up, and it was sitting on my belly in bed, a flying squirrel. And I'd never seen one. I was like, what the fuck is this? It looks like a crazy – they have the big eyes because they're nocturnal, and they're super cute. And it was just hanging out with me. And then we kept it for a while until the weather got warmer. And then a few more, I guess they were in our attic and they were just like popping out. So we had those for a while. And then we had a vulture got zapped by a fucking electric wire or something, and fell into our pen. And I noticed it was sitting there, and like the mule was kind of fucking with it. Like, what the fuck is this? You know, mules, they're like protectors of the whole herd. So anything goes in there not supposed to be in there, they'll fucking go for it. So I grabbed the vulture, and for a good night, I had a vulture, and then we brought it to a wildlife, you know, a bird sanctuary. But it was pretty crazy, like hanging out with a vulture.
Was it like a turkey vulture or like a vulture?
It was a black vulture. So I think they're similar to turkey vultures, but they're all black. They're full black. They look wicked. They're super cool looking.
So it's like the one that Conan bites while he's like up on the cross.
Yeah, it's more similar to a, yeah, it's more wild looking. It's full black. It looks like a crow, kind of like a big ass crow. And the thing that was crazy, like it was a young one, and its parents kept coming for like 2 months looking for it, just hanging out at our farm, waiting for it, looking for it. It was kind of sad, you know, but it ended up, they had to put it down because it was electrocuted and it wasn't going to survive. So,
but, oh wow. No, we don't. So, do you have the whereabouts of all these other sanctuaries if you have to go and drop the animals off? Because by me, I always find animals, and my daughter makes me stop, and then we have these like adventures of trying to find the sanctuaries. But during like the busy time when you see, like, because I've had squirrels fall out of the nests, I've had a lot of baby birds and stuff. Sometimes you can feed them for a little bit, but most of the time we haven't had success, or the sanctuaries are like, we're not taking them right now, we're sorry.
Most of these animals they can't really, there's not much you can do for them, but that's cool you do that. I'm sure your daughter really appreciates that experience.
Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. You know the deal. This is a not suitable for kids in the car, not suitable for work ad. Blue Chew is going to give you a stiffy and a jiffy, Buster. That's right. And if they use that slogan, I want credit. Go to bluechew.com. You'll get all the info. You'll see they are making the first chewable with active ingredients, same as Viagra and Cialis. They're chewable, so they can work faster, up to twice as fast. You could take them on a full or empty stomach. You can get an online physician consult for free, so you're not going to have some weird, awkward interaction at the doctor. You're just going to be online with a doctor. They can't see you, right? You'd be like, "Don't look at me." You'll be like I was going to say Ben Stiller. I don't know why I was going to say Ben Stiller, but I mean Dennis Hopper. It's like, "Don't you fucking look at me." You'll be like that when you go to CVS to pick up your Viagra to the girl, you know, behind the counter, like, "Just give me my dick pills. Leave me alone." No, you don't have to do any of that. All you got to do is go to bluechew.com. They're going to give you a stiffy and a jiffy. You're going to be able to chew it and do it, Buster. That's right. Here's the deal. Visit bluechew.com. Get your first order free when you use promo code JASTA. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com. All you're going to do is pay $5 shipping when you use the promo code JASTA. So get your stiffy in a jiffy, chew it and do it with bluechew.com. Use the code JASTA. Now back to the show.
Have you found that, has she asked you, having animals that have, like, you haven't been able to save or maybe died while you're, how old is she?
Well, now she's 21, but like back in the day, we've nursed mice back to health. We've nursed some babies. One baby squirrel lived, one didn't. The one that lived actually like lived a long time. And then when I would go on tour, my neighbor would take care of him.
Cool.
But he was like in and out. He wasn't domesticated. He was still like, he would go with my neighbor. And but then eventually he got out and he got hit by a car. It was terrible.
Oh man. Yeah. And you found him?
No, my neighbor did while I was on the road.
Oh wow.
But he was,
so did she ask you questions about life and death? Like, did that bring up the conversations about death and stuff with her when she was very little?
Yeah, the mouse was especially like just heartbreaking and really tough for her because the vet, We took it to one of these 24-hour vets, and these people are great people. Normally, like, we've had it where I've been there where they've brought in, like, you know, a goose that was hit by a car you know, we've been there when we've had to take our dogs, and they're normally really good. But the time that my daughter took a mouse in, And this mouse had been like rehabilitated already by my daughter. She just, the girl made a mistake there when she was trying to rehydrate the mouse, and I don't know what she was doing, but when she put the needle in, she must have hit something. She just didn't do it right. And that was like heartbreaking after putting in all that work and then
all that time.
Yeah. And just, and creating the bond with the little mouse. And he was cool. He was, I mean, we found him in a cushion, like just left alone. And the family had like left or whatever, or I don't know. I don't know how he got there, but he was just in the middle of our little outdoor cushions. And she had a Yeah, and she took a lot of time and like watched all these YouTube videos and, you know, of how to
take care of it. Yeah.
But so like some of the birds that we've had that she's, you know, fed like blueberries to and stuff, a couple of them lived when they took them to the one time we had a bird sanctuary that could take them.
Yeah.
And they, I'm pretty sure that they were okay in the long run. But then there was another time where I think that they had just already been out of the nest too long and exposed to the sun and whatever. And cause that sun gets, especially
it's definitely a, you know, I find that my daughter asks me a lot of, you know, hard questions because of the animals that I'm not prepared to answer. I don't really know how to answer you.
Oh, I know. I mean, Roger, I was talking about this to Roger from Agnostic Front, and he's like, you got, this is back in the day, you know, because I always looked at, because he was like the first hardcore dad that I really like knew and looked up to and stuff.
Totally. So
he
would,
he would be like, you just got to give it to him straight. Like I told my daughter, like, the, you know, it's the cycle of life. Like, because she, I guess she saw like one of his pit bulls run and like he saw a rat like out in the alley and he and like the pit bull just went like, just like instinct, just grabbed the rat like firm. And then she was like, oh my God. And he's like, that's the cycle of life. It happens. Like, you know, and he just, he told her straight up, like, that's it. Only the strong survive.
Only the, I was going to say, it probably sounded like a Gnostic Front, like lyrics, you know, only the strong survive, you know.
Yeah, he just told her nature's brutal, you know, like the, and there's all these stories you hear about, like from nature, right? Like the panda has two babies and only one survives. You never see that on the shows growing up. Like you never see that until you get like the.
That's not cute.
No, exactly. What's the guy, what's the great narrator, that guy,
narrates. The dude, that crazy guy, he did like the Grizzly Man.
David Attenborough, is that it?
Yeah, isn't that the guy who did Grizzly Man with the crazy voice? He's like,
oh no, that's I love that guy. That's the guy from The Mandalorian. What's his name? Warner Herzog.
That, wait a minute, that was the guy. I didn't put it together. The dude from The Mandalorian. I was like, this guy sounds like that motherfucking narrator with that crazy voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was him.
Grizzly Man. My daughter watched that with me and she was like, this guy is crazy. I'm like, yeah.
Nuts.
It's a kind of, that's like a dark comedy in a weird way.
It really is. It's like, it's almost like a mockumentary, like a Spinal Tap or something.
Yeah. But the panda is one. And then I remember also when we were kids, there's, somebody had like guinea pigs and I'm like, oh, what happened to the guinea pigs? And they're like, oh, we left the dad in there and he ate the babies. And we're like, what?
What?
Like, you don't want to hear that. That's the part of nature you don't want to hear about.
That's the stuff you don't hear, when cannibalizing. The chimp rips his baby's head off or something.
Right. But I think at some point I do want to get land. Like I went to, I had a little memorial for my aunt and, we were there and they were showing us all the different, like, you know, people in our family at the cemetery. And they got to this one relative of mine, Malachi, and he came from Ireland in 1863 or whatever, you know, and they're giving me all the backstory. Cause you know, I don't know if your relatives do 23andMe.
I did it once a long time ago. Yeah.
What do you got in there? You got a Neanderthal? I got a little bit.
I got a little, not too much. I'm mostly boring, just European, whatever. Nothing cool. I was hoping I'd be like Native American or something cool, but nothing.
Yeah, me too. I was like, I got to have something. They were like, nope, just straight Irish. That's it.
Yeah.
You're done. So this Malachi, he's like my fifth grandfather. He owned a huge goat farm like 15 miles from here. So maybe that was my attraction to all the – animal sanctuaries and wanting to.
Do you have any idea where it was?
Yeah, it was right around Hamden, Connecticut, which is now, it's like probably near Cheshire, Connecticut.
Yeah. It'd be cool if it was still a farm and you could buy it.
I know. Well, I looked over there. I've already been looking, and there was 12 acres, but it was like a cabin, and the taxes, because of the land and because of the problems, I guess, with the taxes in that town, they were just, like, the taxes were 17 grand for the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot, crazy. Right?
A lot, yeah.
Like, I don't know
how. The more acres you get, too, it's like, the more taxes and. Sucks, but
yeah. I would want to try. Well, I see. I think we have the same trademark attorney, by the way. Is that Peter?
Peter, yeah.
Yeah, see, I would want to talk to him and see how he does it. I've been meaning to call him anyways, because we're doing a project that we need to get a trademark for. But he's
Peter's awesome. Have you been to his place?
No, I want to check it out. He's got 100 acres, you said?
He's got like 100 acres of animal sanctuary, like. Create like a huge, they make like hot sauce out of there. Like,
wow.
It's like a massive operation. Massive.
Yeah. That's incredible. See, that it would be fun to just be off the grid, completely self-sufficient, grow your own vegetables, do all that. But see, I'm living with two people who they're, you know, once you're home and you're not on tour for the first time in 20 something years and you're home for a 6 month stretch for the first time, shit gets real, real quick. People get annoyed real quick.
How are you doing with being home so long and everything?
It is what it is. I'm staying positive. Luckily, we have, you know, great fans, the Patreon, we got the Gas Digital Network crew, we got podcasting. Uh-huh. We're very lucky. We're very appreciative. Busy. Yeah. Got records being made.
Yeah.
Did some voiceover gigs, did a couple odd jobs. Yeah. It's fine. And the more we kind of get deep into it, the more I'm sort of preparing for like there to be very limited availability for venues and very limited availability for buses.
And
The artists that are going to not be able to do arenas are going to probably hold all the clubs and theaters.
Yeah.
And it's we're going to see.
It's going to be backed up for a while, for sure. Regardless. Yeah. It's going to be backed up. And I had all my gigs with Suicidal were canceled. Obviously we were supposed to be in Europe, and then, we got a few makeup things, but still don't know, you know.
And what did you think about that article that Warner Music executive said doesn't think anything coming back till 2022?
Did you see that? I don't think he's necessarily wrong. I mean, it's tough, you know. It's tough to get in these conversations without getting into politics, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's like my wife's a doctor, so I have a totally different perspective than some people. And all her family's doctors too. So, you know, they have their medical opinions, which aren't always popular, but we'll see. I mean, it's definitely not coming till 2021. And even then it's like, there's so many things that are rescheduled. Fuck booking new stuff, you know, like one of the artists I managed, Kimbra, her whole tour is pushed back till September, you know.
Of 2021.
And she was already locked in for March, so she's not even, you know, September 2021. It's the earliest she's going to be able to get out there, so.
Yeah, that, the seeing the tours from March 2021 now getting pushed into September and October of 2021, that's unsettling, not even just from a financial standpoint, but from a health standpoint of the people in the States, because I've already... And depending who you talk to and where they are and kind of what their situation was, like in February and March of this year, it all differs, right? Like some gigs are totally back to normal. some gigs never stop. Like if you know people that are in like Serbia and Estonia and some parts of Russia, some parts of Ukraine, like there's just been gigs this entire time, some parts of Croatia. And so depending on who you talk to and where they're based, you get a different story. Right. But then you'll see bands in America, they're playing like they played this past weekend and they think, oh, this is the only show, like Dokken was saying, this is the only show that's happening in America. But really, there's a lot of shows happening.
We're just
not being told about them, or we don't know because we're not in those social media circles, or we're not, you know, seeing the sites that are recording.
Are there shows happening? Like, I mean, there's definitely a lot of people gathering. That's a fact, you know. People are getting together, groups are getting together, whether it's irresponsible or not, it's happening, you know. So I guess I'm surprised I haven't heard about more just kind of shows happening, DIY shows and things like that. I mean, they are, you've heard of them happening?
Yeah. Destruction played in Switzerland. A bunch of bands played in Germany. Smaller shows, you know, like they'll do 200 people in a 1,000 cap or 300 people in an 800 cap or whatever it is. But they're definitely happening. I think some of them are not being promoted here, obviously, because what's the point? You're just going to anger people. You know, there's definitely a lot of people doing those geo-targeted posts, you know, like if they're posting about a show, they're not targeting it in areas where someone might be like, why are you doing that? You're going to set everybody else back.
Yeah. Australia and New Zealand is fully opening up, full festivals, you know, what's our summer and their winter. But yeah, December, January, February, they're full on festivals open. They've had very limited amount of cases over there. I don't think New Zealand has like any, right? Zero. Kimbra, the artist I was talking about, she's from New Zealand. So I'm sending her over there in December, but she has to do a 2-week quarantine. So it's pretty interesting. Like they actually, you get to the airport, they take your temperature. If you have any symptoms, they put you in one hotel. If you don't, they walk you straight to another hotel. And you are in there for 2 weeks. You cannot leave. It's just room service. The government pays for it. You sit there. And after 2 weeks, you don't show any symptoms. You're released into the world. And then you can go about your thing. So she's already got New Year's planned there and a bunch of festivals and stuff. And it'll be good because, you know, her family's there. So she can be there for Christmas with her family and then work a little bit. But, you know, it's tough. I don't think like you or I could go there because we're not citizens, you know?
Right. I know. Well, I heard they're making some, I guess, special exceptions for, I don't know, maybe it's just for filming or for other industries, but that would be cool to just go. But I don't think I can do, unless you had like a bunch of podcasts booked on Zoom and you knew that the hotel was going to have good internet. Cause I've good never Wi-Fi. Been at a hotel everywhere else.
Imagine that. Like I could see 3 days being cool. Like, yeah, I'm getting a lot of work done. And then being like, I'm going to kill myself. I got to.
Yeah. Cause when I got back from LA, cause I was out in LA doing press for the Hatebreed record. And then it was like, Everything was closing down. Flights were getting canceled. This was right at the beginning of this back in March. When I got back, I stayed at a hotel because I didn't want to come home and get my daughter sick.
Of course, just
the first like 3-4 days, I was like, the internet sucks. The food sucks. Like, this is not a good situation.
Yeah. That's tough. I don't think I could do it either. Yeah. It's tough.
One thing when you were talking about the animals earlier, one thing I forgot to ask you was the donkey or the mule rather, the personality of them. Like are they able to be social with the mini horse or the
So the mule, which is a half horse, half donkey, is a female, and she's kind of with another one of the mini horses and her like boyfriend, girlfriend.
Really?
They go on and off. They have some periods where they break up, you know. But you watch them, and like, you know, like the horse will go with another horse and kind of hang out, and she'll be pissed. She'll be upset. She'll be like super bummed. Then they get back together and they're playing and all this stuff. But she's definitely, her personality is a little different for sure. I mean, what you learn about all the, like the sayings, like stubborn as a mule, all that stuff is true. Like it comes from things, you know, like, you know, two shakes of a lamb's tail. And I'm like, oh man, they're like, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, like they're just like, you start to see where all these little sayings you never thought about came from. You know?
Yeah. I have a donkey out by me and he's lonely, and they've tried to get him a girlfriend. They tried to get him friends, but he doesn't gel with them when they come, and it's really sad. Yeah. And then like, I think I brought Howard to see him once. And he likes Howard. He likes certain people, but then other people he doesn't like. And yeah. I wonder about, because I would rescue them if I got land. But yeah. Then I wonder if I would just feel too bad, like if he didn't gel, if like they didn't mesh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is there any other animals there, or just
the dog? Oh yeah, there's a ton, but he's protective of some of the other animals. But like, yeah, it's like one time we were there and we were leaving and he was sad. Like he cried, like they cry.
Oh man.
Like a dog, like, ooh, like don't go. Yeah. And I was like, damn, I didn't want to leave him. I felt terrible.
Oh man.
Cause he's lonely.
Yeah, the ones that are a little more loners tend to not be as friendly with people either. So it's tough because you want to hang out with them and give them special attention, but they're just kind of like, leave me the fuck alone, you know? They all have different personalities, which is interesting. And, I hear that, like, donkeys and zebras are pretty similar. And there's a lot of donkeys, like half donkey, half zebras out there and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe you need a zebra. Maybe you need a little zebra, hot zebra, hot.
A zebra wolf.
Exotic. Hot piece of zebra ass.
There's a reason why you don't see a zebra in the circus, and let me tell you, because if you try to put a saddle on that motherfucker, shit is going down. You're losing ribs. You're getting your whole body caved in.
I heard that zebras are mean, pretty mean.
Yeah, yeah. Like when I see a zebra at a zoo, like when we were in South Africa and we saw him in the zoo. I asked the guy, I'm like, how did you get them in there? He's like, oh, it's a nightmare. He's like, there's a reason that zebra, like people don't fuck with zebras, because they're always on edge. Like, think about it. It's just in your DNA to be like on alert. Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
You got to get ghost at a minute's notice, at a second's notice, because you might have the apex predator ready on your back, right? Like, just,
you're right. I never even thought about that. Like, yeah, like most places where horses come from and stuff, there isn't really predators. I would, you know, like if you think of like wild horses, you don't think of some animal like attacking like them, right?
Right. What's going to take them down? Like, remember when you see those Budweiser commercials, like, and you see the Clydesdale?
Yeah. Nobody's fucking with those things.
Nobody. Yeah. I asked my father when we were kids, because I remember those commercials, and I go, would a bear eat a Clydesdale? He was like, hell no. You get a hoof to the face. Like, you get, if he kick, he'll, a Clydesdale will kick through a bear. And I was like, I don't know about that. I was like,
they're huge.
We need to find out though, because there's gotta be a case where a bear stumbled upon like a stable.
If we're going to find it, man. I mean, if you can find, like, a video of a python eating an alligator, you can find – we're going to find it. We're going to find out. But, yeah, I never even thought about, like, a zebra. The domesticated zebra still has that DNA to be like, fuck, you know, like, fuckers, you know. They probably don't like getting rolled up on at all.
No, because they got to deal with, they got to, not only if they go to the drinking hole, they got to deal with just getting that clamp down, that front facial clamp down, right? That's terrifying unto itself. Then also,
absolutely.
Someone, I don't know if this is true, maybe Brian can look it up, but someone told me a hippopotamus will also fuck up a zebra. So maybe it has.
I'm like, taking you for a walk with me.
Dude, hippos kill more people than most other
hippos
animals.
Hippos are the dangerous, most dangerous shit.
But do they kill zebras?
Yeah, they kill anything.
Under escape plan, pinball machine. Hear that shit.
That's incredible. Who made that?
Some French people. And I was like, yeah, I want it.
and they shipped it?
Yeah. It's cool when it hits the things, it plays little pieces of songs and shit. It's like,
that's incredible. Hey, everybody. Today's show is brought to you by Cushy Dreams. You can smoke your CBD now, Buster. That's right. And you're not going to get high. You're not going to get paranoid, looking through your blinds, freaking out, think the cops are coming, thinking your ex-girlfriend's chasing you, thinking your mother-in-law is going to think you're a scumbag because you're smoking weed. Nope. You tell that bitch, I'm smoking CBD. Rich hemp flower. It doesn't get me high. It's going to get me feeling nice, but without fucking losing my job and spending all my money and fucking acting like a creep or whatever. I don't know. Whatever anti-weed people say that happens. I don't know. Does weed do that? I don't even fucking know because I'm not an expert on this shit. But you know what I am an expert on? Mosh parts. And you're going to write some fucking sick ass mosh parts when you fucking toke up a joint from Cushy Dreams. That's right. That's Cushy with a K, Buster. Health benefits of CBD without getting high comes in sativa or indica blends like Energy, Hustle, Relax, and Dream. Cushy with a K, dreams.com, promo code JOSTA for 15% off your first order. Looks like high quality marijuana, smells like it, tastes like it when you puff it, but it's not going to get you high because it's CBD with only 0.3% THC. CushyDreams.com, promo code JOSTA for 15% off. Now back to the show.
All right, so before we get out of here, and I just texted them telling them I'm going to be 10 minutes late. So let's say what's up to everybody here from our Patreon. We got Josh, we got Brian, we got Wesley, we got Andy. You guys got a question for Ben or myself?
Shut up, Holmes.
You can unmute your mic, or Brian will unmute your mic. Let's see who wants to go first. We got Josh, Wes, Brian, or Andy. Oh, Wesley says, have you seen the movie Toolbox Murders? No.
No.
What's is that about? That sounds like that sounds like the Cannibal Corpse box set that's gonna come out. The greatest hits album.
Toolbox. Corpse Grinder, special edition.
Tell me about that wallpaper right there. Now, just when my daughter was telling me the wallpaper was going out, you brought it back.
Wallpaper? I love wallpaper.
Yeah, I'm all about it. We had wallpaper when we were kids. Why are they hating on it? Yeah.
I love wallpaper, man. I love it. I would wallpaper every room in my house if I could.
I think we should market like band wallpaper.
Yeah.
Or like that, those.
You know what? Like, collage, so it would be like you have to line it up, but like it makes a whole scene, maybe like a whole like a show, like a great photo from a concert. It could be like a whole wall or something.
Yeah, like a panoramic view of a festival, like Wacken.
Yeah,
that would be sick. All right, Wesley.
Someone just asked what my favorite suicidal song is.
Yes, Wesley Seven asked that.
You know what? I love playing Lovely. And although it's funny because Mike talks for like 40 minutes before, and then finally I'm just waiting for he's got the cues, like he talks a lot. And then he's got the cues, and he's just like, and I'm like ready, and it might go long, and I might be like,
yeah.
And I'm always like, it's always like, I get so much anxiety because I want to kick it. I don't know when it's going to kick in, but that song's really fun. And I mean, there's always the classics like, you know, Institutionalized and all that, but You Can't Bring Me Down is definitely, that was such a huge song for me. Hearing like getting it from skating and like hearing that song and the solos, and stuff like that really wanted me to. Made me want to play guitar and stuff. So I think You Can't Bring Me Down is always fun. My favorite probably to play.
Now, what do we got to do to convince him to get you to play, join the army?
We play.
You know what? I don't think we played. I don't know if we ever played that, but I learned it. It was definitely in the beginning on the list of songs I had to learn.
Yeah, I've never seen them play it. And I've played with them hundreds of times. And I'm like, how is this possible that they don't play one of the most rockin' bangers in the catalog?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's like, yeah, I learned it. And it's funny because it's one of those songs that's kind of hard to play because it's like repetitive. Like there's things that happen a lot. So like you kind of lose your place. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of crazy backup vocals. And I was like, I'm never going to nail this, but I learned it and I spent the time doing it. So maybe we can convince them.
What about Suicidal Maniac?
Nope, never played that.
Dude, we could do a whole deep cuts. We could do a whole ST deep cuts episode where there are bangers. There are deep cuts that are like, yeah, there you go. Wesley said, send me your money. I think I've seen you do that, though.
Yeah, we play that all the time.
Yeah.
We play that all the time, yeah. Yeah, it's funny because, like, as a fan, obviously, there's things I want to play or hear, you know. You know, it's like, I think whenever you're in a band, you can't. You know how it is. When you're in a band and you have members who are fans of the band at one point, like, they obviously have a different perspective than you as the dude in the band, you know, the band dude. And it's like, you know, probably they're always right because they know what it's like to be a fan, you know. So it's like, maybe I can convince Mike that I know better than him.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I know what we should be playing.
All that would need to happen is that whatever city you were in, that – whatever song you picked that maybe he was apprehensive about, as long as it popped off and there was a noticeable pop from the crowd, then
that reacted.
yeah. Then it would be like, let's do that again, right?
Right. Totally.
Well, I'm glad this sort of worked out. I didn't have time to do the segments and I didn't have time with all these other questions I have here on my cheat sheet, but let's schedule a part two.
Yeah, anytime.
And thank you again for making this happen. Thank you to Andy, Brian, Josh, and Wesley in here today. And when can we expect? Oh yeah, plug your Patreon so that anybody from our Patreon that wants to go over and hear the music that you're working on.
Yeah, so it's just Patreon/ Ben Weinman, WEINMAN, and there's a couple different tiers, and it's not a monthly thing. You only get charged if I actually, you know, put something out there. And there's a tier where you can get like all rare Dillinger Escape Plan posters and stuff. I have like piles of old posters I've collected. So anytime, you know, if you're in that tier, anytime I release a song, I send out like cool rare posters and random merchandise and things like that. So that's kind of fun. And then there's always footage of like the farm, and sometimes I do some playthroughs of some of the music, like breakdown sessions of some of the music I make and like how I made it and what's, you know, what plugins and software I use and things like that. So yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely going to join now. I'm on Brewers. Oh, I just joined Dino's.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know if Dino's posted. I got to break Dino's balls cause I'm doing a Fear Factory deep dive right now.
Nice.
And I just heard back from Burton. And I heard back from one of their old like road crew guys, and you know, Dino had this old band, the Douche Lords.
No.
They were kind of like MOD, SOD, Suicidal kind of style.
Really?
But he won't. And I guess Ross Robinson produced the demo in 87.
Whoa.
Yeah. But he won't let me, or 88, 87 or 88, but he won't let me hear it because he says it's like too politically incorrect.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like he said.
More like SOD. Yes. SOD. Yes.
So if you got any connections, like have you ever meet Ross Robinson?
Yeah, I worked with him. Yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah, I thought you worked on some.
I lived in his house for 2 weeks in Venice once.
You did?
Yeah.
All right, awesome. you got to connect me.
All right, I'll see if we can track it down.
Yeah, because I can bleep it out too. Like I was thinking, we'll throw it in Pro Tools, like give it a quick remaster.
Put in positive words.
even just bleep it or fade it out, just so we can hear a little taste of it.
Yeah.
Just because.
Have you ever heard it?
No, and Burton just hit me back too while we were on, and he's because I said, I need a copy of the Hate. I guess Burton's original band was called Hate Face. And Dino's original band was the Douche Lord. So I was trying to track down recordings of both of those. Gotcha. But we're going to launch that on my Patreon today, the Fear Factory Deep Dive. The first episode doesn't have a ton of stuff in it yet, but episode two is going to be really good. But we should talk about doing a Dillinger Deep Dive at some point.
Sure, yeah. Anytime would be great.
That way we could hear like everybody's previous bands, the demos. That's what I like to do because it's weird,
funny demos and stuff. And one day you got to give me a course on how to be organized and productive because you got so much going on. It's like, I'm always so inspired by like the amount that you're able to produce and you're just always working your ass off. So.
Well, thank you. Well, I need to take another course. I've been listening to the Organization podcast.
How is it? Do you find it helpful?
It does. Like I just listened to a decluttering one where I got rid of a bunch of DVDs. Like I had a huge horror DVD collection. I got rid of it on Let
That's
Go.
Hard, right?
Yeah.
It's weird. Cause you know, they're never going to watch them because you don't need to, but like, sucks getting rid of them. It's
And I got rid of a bunch of gear. I got rid of like I have a pod right here and I love the pod.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's all you can use plugins now. Like you don't.
I know. I have like an intern and I had a pod and I gave it to him. I'm like, here you go. And he was pumped. To him, it's like vintage. You know what I mean? He's like, like 20. He's like 20 and he's like, whoa, you know, it's like vintage.
Yeah, like, even if you were going to use it live or if you were just going to play with it with headphones, I guess it could be cool, but
definitely
even the headphones, like I got rid of like 15 pairs of headphones on Let Go and people were psyched. Yeah. So, but that, I think once I get rid of all the physical clutter, then I'm going to do the digital declutter and then I'm going to really map out, like I have a little vision board over here and I have some other stuff to just, so I try to stay on target, but I'm always trying to use my time better.
Do you make like lists and to-do lists and all that stuff?
Oh yeah. I mean, I have a ton, but I have to even centralize and organize the lists.
Yeah.
Because I subcategorize, and I think sometimes subcategorizing can hinder your progress because if you're just focused on one category, you don't get to the other ones.
Yeah, you put off the sub thing instead of just making it, right?
Right, but I do like the just do something, even if it's a baby steps, just a little thing. Like I had a whole box of old bills that needed to be shredded, and I just wasn't touching it. But I find that if you just do one or two bills, yes. Break the dam. Just break through,
right.
You know?
Right, break through. Well, eventually, maybe then you'll get to your sock drawer.
Yes. Oh, God. I was fine. Dude, the guitar picks alone. I tried to do a drawer the other day, this desk drawer. The guitar picks alone that I found in here, some of them.
Yeah, you find picks and shit.
Oh, my God. Some of them are fucking from all the podcasts. Like Rudy Shanker. I found Brent Hines. I got I found Jakey Lee guitar pick.
You found him in your drawer?
Yeah, because when I got home from tour, like if I did a bunch of podcasts, I'll just put whatever I got from the podcast like in this drawer.
Yeah.
And then I had people giving me like weird stuff, all different. Dude, I got so much crap I gotta get rid of, but maybe that's what I'll do. Like you, maybe I'll add that when I update my Patreon tiers.
Make it as a special tier.
Yeah, like all the laminates, all the old flyers, all the old posters.
Yeah, do like a legit $50 tier, and like you get rare stuff, and that way you can give it to someone who really appreciates it. You're getting money towards the cause, towards your work, your projects, and you're clearing out your clutter, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. At least with the laminates and the old posters and the old flyers.
Yeah.
Because I was going to.
That's what I did. When I moved, you know, that's when you really see all the shit you have, you know. And it's that's when I was like, all right, this is stuff that people would love, you know? And I framed a bunch. I see like all your posters and stuff. And it's like, I framed some of them, but then I'll have like three extra, you know, that you just put under your mattress on tour or something, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I realized, man, this stuff is like, some of this stuff is valuable stuff, man, because it's like, even if someone pays $50 to get the song, they get a poster, but like all these posters are already going for more than $50 on the internet. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's totally worth it.
Well, see, that's the one thing I worry about, because I did Depop for a while. I mean, I still do it here and there, but I was doing it really heavy for a while. And then someone told me that the tapes that I was, like the old demo tapes that I was selling for $30, people would put them up on Discogs for $300.
Whoa. And yeah, so they were like, man, I gotta do that.
or like lyrics. Like I did a lyric sheet sale, and then like I saw people that put them up on eBay. And I was like, well, that wasn't the point of it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like super fans to hold on to this stuff. Yeah.
Right. But you're definitely right about having it go to someone who will want it, and it will bring them joy. Cause that's one of the things you hear on the organizational podcast is like, if it doesn't bring you joy, get rid of it. But like, I've done it where, and I guess this is true, the one man's trash is another man's treasure. Like,
yeah.
From the old shows that I used to book, I had a bin, like bins and bins of old posters, and I would crumple them up and use them as padding in the care packages.
Really?
And I forgot because these are bands like I thought no one knew or would ever care about. So someone uncrumpled one of them. It was a punk band from California. I think they had one record. I forget the name of the band. But someone was like, why would you ruin this perfectly?
Why would you crumble this up? Yeah.
Right. And I was like, oh shit, I better not do that. You know, like, or even like old, like label posters and stuff that I thought.
Absolutely. Yeah, stuff that we would just have, you know, old promo posters, like shit tons or whatever.
Yeah, I forget who it was, but it was somebody that they really liked the band. I was like, oh shit, I better not do that anymore. But, but Ben, thank you so much for the time. We're going to definitely check out your Patreon, and we're going to send you a bunch of people over to that.
Cool.
Good luck with the animals. What was the name of the ram? Did you say any? Oh, I forgot to ask you about the names.
Ram. The ram's name is actually Ramsey. It's Ramsey, yeah.
Ramsey Bolton, is it after?
We got Ramsey. We got Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang, yeah.
Building Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Sunday. We got Mr. Bojangles, we've got Fat, we got all kinds
of that should be a Patreon tier where you, when you get a new animal, like the,
you have to name it.
Yeah. Vote on it at least.
I think we're gonna start making posters for each animal and like putting those up for sale, whatever. I don't know what people want, man.
I think like you do a picture with them all and then you make it like a mixtape cover. With you, with them, like, as your crew, that would be hard.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, I think we can make a new version of, like, Hate Beat, but, like, with like, Ghost or something, because we got some crazy sounds coming out of this place. Sure.
All right, brother. Well, thank you so much for the time, and I'll hit you up, and we'll get something scheduled for a couple weeks from now.
Let's do another round, baby.
All right. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
It's the outro after the outro. If you're listening to this, you are my hero. And thank you so much to everyone who's on our Patreon. Check out patreon.com/Josta for more information, bonus content, everything that you're not going to get in the Gas Digital subscription, you will get on Patreon, all right? It's just different content. So those of you who have been donating so much money every month on Venmo, you might as well just sign up to the Patreon, and this way you get that content, you get that extra bang for your buck, because it's just been too crazy to try to send out all those care packages. I think we got them all out. If you didn't get yours, shoot us an email, jostashow@gmail.com. If we forgot one or two of them, we will get those out this week.
But yeah, it's just much easier. And I think content is king right now. It's just easier to provide you with more content per month. And the more subscribers we get, the more power we're going to get to do a ton of great projects that we think that, you know, you guys would love. So check out patreon.com/Josta. And if you want to check out the 515 plus episodes in the archive at Gas Digital, grab yourself a Gas Digital subscription. We got a lot of new shows coming on board. I had a great call with Lewis and Ralph. And the network's growing, and we're going to do great things in 2021 and 2022. So it's a great time to support that network as well. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use promo code JOSTA. Now, today's episode has been brought to you by TheImmortalCoffee.com. That's right. Matt Brown, the UFC legend, bringing you coffee hard with lots of caffeine, but no crash. That's what I love about TheImmortalCoffee.com. I go to the site, I can pick out my Cuban roast, my Italian roast. Maybe I want some CBD blend in there. They got it all over at TheImmortalCoffee.com. Use the promo code JOSTA and you're going to save. Get yourself one of, if not the best coffee to go mug that I have. I keep it with me every morning. Also, the shirts are great. I've been wearing that pothead shirt and people get, everywhere I go, someone talks to me about it. I go, TheImmortalCoffee.com. Buster, go get yourself your own. It's a coffee pot, but it says pothead. Get it? Big shout out to TheImmortalCoffee.com. Use the promo code JOSTA. Let me know what you're watching. Let me know what you're listening to. I know everybody's excited for the new Ingested this Friday. Maybe you already got your pre-order. Tag me if you did. Any order you do from Indie Merch Store, tag me on Instagram. I will start using Instagram again because I know I got to post all the podcast graphics and I've been slacking. But believe me, when you think I'm slacking, I'm actually working. So in your mind, it's slacking. In my mind, I'm fucking on the grind, nose to the grindstone. So IndieMerchStore.com is the site to go to. Big thank you to IndieMerchStore.com for always helping us bring out the podcast. They're one of our best sponsors, a longtime sponsor, and we want to support them because they support us. Go to IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA. Get yourself that new Ingested or get yourself any of those awesome items that they have up for sale at IndieMerchStore.com. Restocks from all your favorite death metal bands, metalcore, brutal metal, death metal, vegan metal, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Check it out. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA. And don't forget, martyrstore.net. I got to plug our store because we got Hatebreed tank tops, signed 8x10s, signed posters are going to be back in stock very soon, pint glasses, and all new Crowbar tank tops and some Josta tank tops back in stock. Martyrstore.net, MartyrStore.net. Please leave a 5-star review on iTunes, give a like and subscribe on YouTube if you want to see the video version of this. Hit that bell so you get the notification so I can stop being a caveman and step up into 2020 with all the fucking technology, baby. All right, get out there, slay the day, keep the PMA, and I won't have an episode out this Thursday because I will be in the studio, but we'll be back next Monday, and I'm not going to say who the guest is just yet, but it's going to be good, Buster. All right, have a good one. Thank you all. Love you all. Bye-bye. Produced by Brian McKay. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, Niall Scholar, Richard Miller, Morgan Costner, Zappagore Waikato, Josh Lipinski, Matt West, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Jeffrey Kewen, Devon Chandler, Crystal McLaughlin, Justin Steven, Brian Underkoffler, Zach Timmons, Andy Wilson, Mark Tagg, Kyle Marg, Wesley Seven, Bill Gustler, Let's Talk Resident Evil, James DeGroot, Jason Rary, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Vivek Pawar, TJ McKee, and John Blewett.